ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಆನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಡೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಡೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಡೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇಶ್ವರಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿಧಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೆ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೈನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯ ಇತರತ ಅರ್ಥೇಷು ವಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಣ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿಕವೈ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿಯಲ್ಸೂರಯಾ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಗುಹಗಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈತವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾನಾಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಕ್ಷಣ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದ ಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಗಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇದವೇ ತಾವತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುವೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನತೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತದೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನೆಂದೋ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರಿಂ ನ ಕಣಿಗಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద close to the end of that 13th chapter, which is known as Hamsa Gita, isn't it? That's what we were discussing last Sunday. So, at the end of that Hamsa Gita, Krishna is saying to the Kumaras that these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, that should be analyzed very much. And the whole chapter is centered around that topic. You can see if you read through those verses there. Krishna says, verse 30, if you look from there, Krishna begins, Yavan anarthadi pumso na nivartheda yuktibhi jagartyabhi sabannatnya satne jagaranam yatha. From then on, Krishna keeps discussing, and even earlier, verse 27 also, Krishna says, Jagral Sutna Sushuptam Chakunado Buddhivartaya Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshitvena Vinishchidaha. So, Sattugunam Jagrat state, Rajogunam is dream state, and Tamogunam is the deep sleep state, Sushupti, for the living entities. And then Krishna says that, Yavan nanarthadipum so nanivartheda yuktibi jagartyabhi sabannatnya satne jagaranam yatha. In other words, Krishna says there that this jagrat, satnam, sushupti, three states, it is something very interesting to study, the three states of existence. And what happens in each state is independent, and at the same time it has a subtle effect on other states as well. For example, Krishna is saying here that we can talk about the subjects in the Swapnam state. In the dream state, what you are experiencing, you can talk about in the waking state. But what has happened in the waking state, you can't talk about in the dream state, isn't it? In the dream state, why is that? The things what we have dreamt in the night, or in the dream state what we have experienced, we can talk about it to some extent when we wake up in the morning, in the wakened state. But the wakened state, incidents in the wakened state, we are not in a position to talk about in the dream state. Because actually, when we say dream state, It is not a dream state. Actually, it is the position of the living entity in that particular situation. For example, Jagrat is also in a similar way, like the dream state is also in a similar way. Sometimes what you have experienced in one state can come to the memory, in your memory in the another state. Similarly, some things may not happen in the another state. Just like the way, if we keep on remembering everything what happened in the dream state, in the wakened state, by practice you can remember a lot of things, what has happened in the dream state. You can remember them in the wakened state. Similarly, if we remember the things in the wakened state, by practice it can come into the dream state as well. Into the dream state as well. So, but because the two states, Jagrat state and the dream state, both of them are different in the sense that many instances what you have experienced in the Jagrat state or wakened state need not come in the dream state. So that depends on the influence of the Maya or the modes of nature in a person. It is responsible for that. So sometimes things what you have given up in the Jagrat state, it does not come in the dream state. Say for example, a person who was addicted to drinking alcohol considerably. After some time he gave it up, drinking, or he given up that habit, or a smoking habit, or any habit like that, something which he is habituated with. He has given up the habit in the wakened state. But in the dream state, it can come back again, isn't it? All he has done that was that he was able to give up only in the wakened state. The same habit of drinking alcohol can come back in the dream again. You cannot stop that, can you? Why is that? In order to show to us that whatever alcohol he has been consuming or the cigarettes he had smoked before, it has gone as impressions inside, and in the dream it has come out again. This is the proof of that. That some habits, what we have kicked out in that wakened state, we think that we have escaped from that. It comes back in the dream state again. Just to show to us that the neither of them, these habits what we think, which are in the Jagrat state, we think we have come out of it. Actually, we are not come out of it. It's still there, very much inside in the dream state, it comes back again. So, both for this, unless the whole, you can only say that you have escaped from this habit, when we come to know that both the Jagrat and the dream state, and the dream state is caused by avidya or ajnanam or ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of Jagrat state as well as the dream state. And when we have realized the truth, on the self-realization has happened, you are released from all these, till you have released from, realized the self, these habits will never leave us. This will come back again and haunt us in some way or the other, either in Jagrat or in the Sopnam. So, sometimes there are so many organizations in this world, isn't it, which helps you, Alcoholic Anonymous and so many, stop smoking, like that, there are many other things also, organizations to help you to come, but they are only helping you to come out of the Jagrat state, isn't it, not in the dream state. In the dream state they keep coming back again, in the dream. So, Krishna is saying here, Asatvad Almano Anyesham, that is the verse 31. Bhavanam Talkrida Bhida Gadayo Hedavaschasim Rusha Sopna Rusho Yadha. So Asatvad Almano Anyesham. If you inquire about anything which is outside the soul, then their nature is different. Bhavanam Talkrida Bhida, because you experience differences in different objects. And Krishna says, Gadayo Hedavaschasya Mrusha Svapna Drusho Yatha. In other words, their activities and karma, all these are relatively something like in a dream state. All that is what is happening in the vacant state also. is not much different as far as Krishna is concerned. Asatvad Almano Anyesham Bhavanam Talkrida Bhita Gatayo Hedavaschasya Mrsha Sapnadrisho Yatha. So, having saying that, Krishna talks about some important points afterwards. He says here that the that the Jagrat Avastha or the three states has nothing to do with the soul. This is important. It has nothing to do with the soul. And soul is only a witness to these three states. The soul is only a witness to these three states. That's why in the beginning Krishna says, Jagrat Svapna Sushupta Cha Gunato Buddhi Vrittaya, isn't it? Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshitvena Vinischita. If you remember that verse, you will know that Krishna is pointing out Jagrat, Svapnam, Sushupti, these are all buddhi vritti. It is the based in the mind and intelligence, mostly in the intelligence. Tasam Vilakshano Jiva. At that time, the soul is only a witness. Soul is only a witness. Vilakshano Jiva. And his nature is such that he is Vilakshana. Vilakshana means that he has no connection with any of these things. He has no lakshanam of all these. In other words, the three states of existence is not affecting the soul. Three states of existence is not affecting the soul. Tasam vilakshano jiva. Then what does jiva do at that time? The soul, what does he do? Sakshityena vinischida. He is staying as a sakshi. So this is the most important thing in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Krishna is telling us how to become a sakshi. And if you are in the sakshi state, you are always in a safe position. As soon as you become a jiva state, when you are affected by the modes of nature, you got to suffer along with that. Krishna says the only way to escape from that is to become a sakshi. Sakshi state. Tasam vilakshano jiva sakshityena vinischidam. So after saying that, we go back to this particular topic of Jagral Sapnam Sushupti. Lord Ramachandra says to Hanuman in Mukti Upanishad, he says this, first study Mandukya Upanishad. And Mandukya Upanishad, if you are not satisfied with that Upanishad, then study all other Upanishads. Ramachandra says this to Hanuman. From this you can understand, Ramachandra gave a lot of importance to Mandukya Upanishad. So, although there was only 12 mantras in there, in its depth and its details of understanding of the soul, it is a very advanced understanding that comes from that Upanishads. And the same thing, similarly, in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna also says to Uddhava that try to understand these three avastha. Avastatrayam it's called. Which one? Jagrel, Satnam, Sushupta. He tried to understand these three states very well, reflect on it continuously, and understand them well so that you can remain as a witness. Tasam vilakshano jiva. Yo jagare, Krishna started with that verse, isn't it? Verse number 32. Yo jagare, bahiranyukshana dharminorthan, bhungte samastakarane, hridal sadrikshan, swapne sushupta upasamharade samega, swasmrityanvayal trigunavutitrigindriyeshaham. So, in the vacant state, through the senses, all the objects in the world we are experiencing. In the dream state, through the same objects, we are experiencing through our vasanas. That's what we do, isn't it? In the vacant state, all the objects are there in its gross form. So, we experience them in the gross form. But in the dream state, the same objects are present there inside us as vasanas. So, when in the dream state, how do we experience? Through the vasanas, we experience the same gross objects outside. And in the sushupti state, all of them get dissolved somewhere. So, they get dissolved somewhere. And who does this? The soul. Because of the presence of the soul, this happens. And that soul, Krishna is saying, Svapne sushupta upasamharadesam egam. That soul which has dissolved everything in the deep sleep states is egam, is one. And smriti anvaya triguna vritti trigindriyesha. All he is doing is, he is a witness to all the states. And he is the controller of that states. That's all it is. He is the controller of these states. In other words, Even these three states of existence can only happen if the soul is present there, although soul is not affected by that. Just trying to understand that the soul is always independent, He has independent state. He continues to do everything, but nothing can affect him, affect the soul. That's what he says. Yo jagare bahir anikshana dharmenorthan bhungte samasta karaneir hridi tal sadrakshan sotne sushupta upasamharadesam ega smriti anvayal trigunavruti drihindriyesha. Trigunavruti means the three modes of material nature. After saying that, Krishna says that the things what is in the Jagrat, the same time warp, time experience is not the same in dream and deep sleep, isn't it? That, for example, as you know, that a period of say 10 years in vacant state, you can experience in a few minutes or a couple of hours in the dream state, isn't it? So what does it indicate? Indicate that the time in Jagrat and the time in the dream state are not the same, although the experience is the same. Experience is the same. See, all our calculations and all our study is completely based on the Jagrat, vacant state. And because it's everything based on the vacant state, you can't transfer that into dream state and deep sleep. Because there, another state, we are experiencing another time and another space. So many things what we experience in the dream state is not the same way as we experience through the senses in the vacant state. In vacant state it is mind, in the senses, and through the gross senses you experience everything. In the dream state it's only the mind that is operating in all these things. So that experience is not exactly the same way like you experience in the vacant state. Because in the dream state, the time and space is not the same. There itself, the time finishes. Time has no significance anymore there. You can't apply the time of the Jagrat into the time of the dream state. Because the experience you have, what you experienced in the vacant state, is different when you experience in the dream state. So, in other words, actually the dream state is not a part of Jagrat state. Actually, it's a part of Maya. That's why we say the three states, Jagral, Swapnam, Sushuptam, Jam, Gunado, Buddhivrtaya, they are from the Gunam it comes. They are not coming from another state. For example, we think sometimes that, I went into a dream, as though the influence was from the Jagrat. Actually, it is not. It's a gunam that has caused that. It's a very subtle thing to understand that rajogunam in us, sattugunam jagrada, rajogunam is the sotnam and tamogunam is the sushupti, isn't it? So when rajogunam is influencing strongly, then we go into the dream state. And that can be happen when your eyes are wide open. Also, it can happen. Similarly, sushupti state, the deep sleep state, is the influence of tamogunam that falls into that state. So, evam vimarshya, Krishna says, gunado manasastri avastha. This three avastha, the three states in the mind, coming from the modes, manmayaya mayi krita iti nishchidarthaha. They have been fixed by me through the modes of material nature. Krishna says, through the modes of material nature, it is fixed. And samchidya hardam anumanasa dukti tikshna jnanasana bhajadam akhila samshayadim. Krishna says, by constantly thinking about these three states and deeply analyzing this, one should hardam anumanasa dukti tikshna. One should come to the conclusions with the help of the earlier acharyas and the great devotees, and with their knowledge we should cut these three states of existence. When you cut the three states of existence, Krishna says, it will automatically go away the false ego. False ego will go from a person. That's where the root of the false ego is. The false ego is the root from where all this is coming. Because All the doubts are coming because of the false ego inside. And Krishna is saying here, Samchidya Hardam Anumanasa Dukti Tikshna Jnanasinam. Tikshna Jnanasinam. The full knowledge of them, these three states of existence, will help. Why? What will happen? When you start analyzing these three states of existence, you will eventually realize it, that I have nothing to do with that. I mean, the soul has nothing to do with that. It is only a part of the false ego. And the false ego will go. It will leave you at that point. That's a way to free from the false ego. That's why these three states must be studied. Krishna is saying that by studying these three states, what will happen is eventually you will know that the three states are not affecting me, the soul. Because the witness position, that is what happens. You will free yourself from the influence of the the three modes of material nature. And he says, Ardham Anumanasa Dukti Tikshna Jnanasinam. But that require very strong analysis of these three states. And the realization that comes from there is Jnanasinam, the sword of knowledge, which will cut through that ignorance. Achadam Akhila Samshayadim. And then in the next verse, Krishna talked about what? Icheda Vibramamimam Manaso Vilasam. Drishtam Vinashtam Adilola Malata Chakram. Vijnanameka Murudheva Vibhadi Maya Sotnastritha Guna Visarga Krato Vigalpaha. Krishna says, Icheda Vibramamidam. It creates a Vibramam inside, Brahmam inside, Manaso Vilasam. And at that time, the mind is in action. And just like a Alada Chakram. Remember that Alada Chakram, like the chute we talked about. If you rotate that chute, that is called Alada Chakram. The chute is the one, the fire you carry in the villages when you walk. That's called Alada Chakram, the chute. And that chute, you set fire, and if you keep on rotating, it will appear as though a big fireball is rotating all the time. But although it forms this circle, there's only one chute which is doing that. Similarly, he says here, Drishtam Vinashtam Adilolam Alada Chakram. The mind, under the influence of all these things, of the three modes of material nature, is rotating us through this cycle of birth and death. Actually, there is no birth or death. Everything, ultimately, Krishna comes back to this point to tell us, once you have come to the platform of the soul, there is neither birth nor death. We are frightened of death, aren't we? What happened when I die? Where will I go? What will happen? Krishna says, you are not going anywhere because you are not come from anywhere, first of all. So the answer is this, that neither birth nor death has actually no meaning in relationship with the soul. They are all which has come due to what is known as ajnanam or avidya or ignorance in us. The moment we get back to our pure identity as the soul, there is neither death nor birth. It is only what is missing in us, this realization that we have fallen into this trap of the mind, which is making us feel, oh, I am suffering, I am going to die, I am getting sick. Krishna says, you never get sick because you are not this body. Krishna says, all the suffering is due to the mind because you are not the mind. And similarly, everything what we are going through this world, as because of our very strong identification with the body, mind and the intelligence and the false ego, the more we identify, the more we have to suffer. The more we pull out of this identification, we are escaped from this world, then there is nothing that can disturb us anymore. So that's what he's saying. Jnanamegam urudheva vibhadi maya sotnastrita guna visargagato vigalpam. So, stula, gross body, senses, subtle body, all of them is created by the transformation that is happening in the modes of nature. The three, mind, body, or the subtle body, and the false ego, senses, all these things is changing due to changes in the modes of nature. Krishna is saying that. Due to changes in the material nature, it has nothing to do with the soul again. Soul is independent. So, and Krishna says that just it is only created by ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance. At least if we read these verses, and if we accept Krishna's words, we can come to understand or accept this reality that the soul is an independent entity all the time, never under the control of anybody. It is never under the control of anyone. Unnecessarily, we put ourselves into a miserable situation thinking that, oh, I am suffering, I am enjoying, or I am dying, I am getting sick. That's the point. And the more we realize these things what Krishna has spoken here, the more you can escape from all the miseries of this world. Otherwise, we will never escape. Continuously think, oh, my dear Krishna, you have to come and help me when I am dying. Krishna is saying, you are not dying. We saying, we are dying. Krishna says, you are not dying. We says to Krishna, I am going to take birth again. Don't give me another body. Krishna says, there is no such thing called birth. So where is the problem? Problem is not with Krishna. Problem is with us. Artificially or due to ignorance and avidya, we have created some kind of knowledge what we think is correct, and then going and complaining to Krishna. Krishna is saying, all your complaints is based on false understanding from the very... This is what exactly happened to Parikshit also, isn't it? Parikshit also sat down there thinking that I am going to die in 7 days' time. At the end of the 7 days, when Sudeva Goswami spoke to him, he understood there is no such thing called death. And Sukadeva Goswami had to speak that very bluntly to him, isn't it? What did he say? Pashabuddhim imam jehi, he says. Give up your animal's intelligence, he said. Pashabuddhi. Pashabuddhi means animal's brain. Pashabuddhim imam jehi, he says. Throw away that intelligence of the animal. So, Bhagavatam's point is, same thing in Bhagavad Gita also. In this lifetime, if we succeed in realizing the truth as Krishna has spoken, there is no more coming, taking birth again, and there is no more dying again. All that finishes one for all. And that should happen right now in this body while living here. Not to be kept after death, I'll go home somewhere else and I will not be coming back here again and all that kind of thoughts. We have give it up all that because Bhagavatam is not saying like that. So, Vijnanam Egam Urudheva Vibhadi. Vijnanam, that realization is the only thing that can help us. Uyate vibhadi, maya sapna tritha, guna visarga krudo vikalpam. Due to vikalpam and the three states, guna visargam, that has created this and it has come from ignorance. So, how to escape from that? Krishna is saying, drishtim dada pradinivarti. That is the next words. Drishtim dada pradinivarti nivarta trishna tushnim bhavel. Nija sukhane bhavo niriha. Samdrishyade kujam yadidam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayana bhavel smriti anipadad. He says, drishtim dada pradinivartya, because material world is maya, is false thing. And take your attention away from this world. Krishna says, take your attention away from this world. Nivrta trishna tushnim bhaved. Nivrta trishna means give up all the desires to enjoy this material world or to become a controller here, in other words. And nivrta trishna, that desire must go from inside. And tushnim bhavel, and completely absorbs in yourself. Tushnim bhavel nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. Nija sukha means the false happiness of this world and should be given up immediately. Samdrishyade koja yadidam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayan bhavel smriti anipadad. That because if you see this world as a real thing, it will create again these false impressions inside. If you accept this world as real, the world will keep creating thoughts inside and will creating further impressions inside. So the point Krishna is making here is that first of all, reject this world. It's not a reality. World is as much as a... Only in the Jagrat state you are perceiving that, first thing. Secondly, Krishna says anything that is changing is not real. It is it's not reality, existence. It's an asatyam, it is false. So because of that, samdrishyade kuja yadidam avastu buddhya. Because of that avastu buddhi, said tektam, give up that connection with this world, and drishtim tada pratinivartya, take your attention towards the real thing which is inside the soul. Till we go back to that soul, we will have to suffer in this world in some form or the other. The ignorance will drag us through different bodies, through different existence and we are bound to suffer through that. The only escape route, Krishna saying, tushnim bhavel, nijasughani bhavo, niriha. That means engage in the realization of the soul, self-realization in other words. So much Krishna stresses on this point in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam of knowing what we are. Once we have known that, all these miseries are finished. After that, there is no such thing called birth or death. Samdrishyade kojayadidama vastu buddhyaham tektam brahmaya namavel smriti anibhadal. Although there Krishna wants one thing, that even if you given up this world completely, because the gross body is still there, and because the gross body needs food, sometimes it needs some food, that may create a little bit of reality in this world. Things like that. Because you have to eat. The bodily, you are not free from the body yet, isn't it? So because it is like that, Krishna says that that bodily identity or bodily thoughts will demand some food for the body. That point, you will feel this world as real. That's how most of the people say, isn't it? They say, the world is real because I have to earn something to live in this world to for my food, for livelihood and all that. So Krishna says that is true. It will be only there for some time. Smritir Anipadat. Till you have completely freed from the bodily identity, that desire for food and a few things, essential things, will still remain. And that may give you a false feeling that this world is real. That's what Krishna is saying. But it's not real. But because of these one or two things like the food, eating food, you may feel the necessity to accept that this world is real for some time. For some time. But afterwards, even that will go away. The Tatraya Maharshi story. The Tatraya Maharshi says that I won't ask for food. If anything comes, I'll take it. Otherwise, I'm not concerned about it. He says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? While talking to Yadu. So, same thing. Tektam Brahmaya Navel Smriti Anipadad. And then the two most important verses, which appeared in the third canto also. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, Deham Janashwaryam Avastidam Uttidamva Siddho Nabashyati Edo Agamal Swarupam Daivadabedam Uda Daivavashad Ubedam Vasoyada Parikritam Madhiramadhandaham. These are very important because in these verses Krishna is saying, don't fight against Prarabdham. Prarabdham will come, whatever that is kept already destined. It will come its own way. That is what he is saying in the first line itself. Deham janashwaryam avastidam uthidam va siddho na bashyati yado dhyagamat swarupam. Deham janashwaryam. Material body is a temporary thing. It is not permanent existence. And it's only staying because of what? Deham janashwaryam avastidam uthidam va siddho na bashyati yado dhyagamat swarupam. Just like a person who is drunk, who is drunk, and who, while he is not conscious of the clothes what is on his body, whether it has fallen off or not, he is not even conscious of that, isn't it? In the drunken state. Those who have experienced that, they'll know. Those who are not experienced, they won't know that. So, those who have experienced, they know what it's like. When the clothes falls off, they're not bothered or they're not even conscious of that. It's gone. So, even the pub has got to teach us something. That's what it is means. You see, we think everything is bad in the pub. No. If you get drunk, this verse applies there. Only you will understand that. Then the verse, what it is telling us. Deham janashwaryam avastidam uthidam va siddho navashriyado agamat swarupam. Our real Swarupam comes out at that time. I'm not this body. I'm not this body at that time. Isn't it? The whole thing has fallen off. I'm not this body. And Devada Vedam Uda Deva Vashad Ubedam. What does he seem to say? That Devada Vedam Uda Deva Vashad Ubedam. Devada Vedam. Prarabdham has Deva. Here Deva means Prarabdham. Prarabdham has given you this body. And Deivavashad Ubedam. Prarabdham will take you away also, this body. Absolutely no point in trying to fight against this law. This law is fixed. It's a very firm law, Krishna is saying here. Deivadabedamudha Deivavashad Ubedam. Whatever material nature has given us, or material nature means prarabdham. Prarabdham has given us, prarabdham will take it away from here. Vaso yada parikritam madira madhandam. So, and just like the madira madhanda, the drunken person, the drunkard, he loses his clothes, he's not conscious of that. Siddho na bashyati yado agamat swarupam. A realized soul, when he comes to know about his identity as the realized state in that soul, platform of the soul, what will happen to him is exactly like this person who is drunk. The body drops off one day, he goes. He is not even looking back, have I lost my body, and worry about the body. That is how much connection between him and the body. As much connection a person who is drunk has with his clothes, is that is the connection what we have with our gross body. Why Krishna says this is that people who are so absorbed in the body, sometimes people are so absorbed in the body, 24 hours we talk about the body only, isn't it? How are you? I'm fine. And all diseases inside, in the body. And still, the whole mind is contemplating on what's wrong with me now, when should I go to GP, when should I go to what for general or anywhere. All these thoughts inside. Disappointment, that appointment. So Krishna is saying here, Devada Vedam Uda Deva Vashadu Vedam. Devam has given, Prarabdham has come to us in this form of body. Deva Vashadu Vedam. Krishna, Prarabdham will take it away from you also in the same way. Vasoyada Parigradam Madhira Madhanda. Then after that, Dehobi Deva Vashagam Ghelu Karmayaval Swarambhagam Pradisamikshadam Eva Sasu. Tam saprabanjam adhirudam samadhi yogaha swapnam punarna bhajade pradibuddha vastuhum. Krishna says, Dehobi Deva Vashagam. This Deva Vashagam means prarabdham. This deham will only stay till the prarabdham is there. When the prarabdham is finished, you can go from here, from this body. Nobody will force you to stay in the body anymore after that. That's the important thing. Dehobi Deivavashakam. Deivavashakam it is. It is Krishna's rule, is law is such that your prarabdha karma will hold this body as long as it is necessary to burn that prarabdham in that body. Dehobi Deivavashakam. Ghalu karma yavad swarambhagam pratisamikshadam eva sasu. Then, no matter what happens, what you do to that body, if your prarabdham is powerful, it will stay. It will stay in this world. The body will stay. No matter what you do to that body, if you are meant to live, you will live in this world. Somehow you will be in that body. You won't be able to go away from that. Swarambhagam pradisamikshadam eva sasu. Sasu means the pranan. Pranan is the symptom of the soul inside. That pranan won't leave the body. And means that the soul will remain inside that body. Pradisamikshadam eva sasu. Then, tam saprabanjam adhirudam samadhi yogaha. But one who has realized the self in this body, the soul, spiritual identity, one who has received that, or one who has realized the sachalkaram or tatvam, one who has realized the truth, them swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. So, this material body, the realized soul's jnanis, they will never show any attachment to this body after the self-realization. They will not show any more attachment to this body. Krishna is saying like that. So then we have seen in that chapter, the important verses finishes there. So with the result of all these discussions was that the Kumaras understood what things have gone wrong in their question. They came to understand by Krishna's mercy. And they are saying here that they got all their question doubts cleared up. They paid their obeisances to Krishna. And various hymns they prayed Krishna. At that time, Thairaham Pujada Samyak Samstada Paramarshivi. Krishna going back to Sukham Dhamma, Pashyada Parameshtina, goes back to his own abode. Krishna has gone back to his own abode. With this 13th chapter, in the Ekadasha Skandam, all what Krishna wanted to say has been said. The important thing what Krishna has to say has all been said. 10, 11, 12 and 13, 4 chapters. These are the main chapters in the Ekadasham in Uddhava Upadesham. In instructions to Uddhava. Uddhava Gita, these 4 chapters are important. Why? In these 4 chapters, Krishna has spoken everything what he has to say to Uddhava. From now on, you will see what's going to happen is, based on these instructions what Krishna has given, Uddhava is raising questions. On these topics what Krishna has spoken so far. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, through 2nd and 3rd chapter, Krishna has spoken everything what he has to say to Arjuna, isn't it? If you study 2nd and 3rd chapter seriously, you will notice that. Important things are in that 2nd and 3rd chapter. In 2nd, Krishna talked about Sankhyam and Yogam, Jnanam and Yogam. And then Krishna talked about when Sankhyam is not for everybody, that's only for a few people. Yogam for all others, those who are like us or anybody for that matter. But Krishna said, yogam process to become a success, you have to follow through the process of karma. Karma yogam, you have to go through that. So that karma yogam, when Krishna spoke, Arjuna had questions. Isn't it? Arjuna raised questions. It's from that the 4th chapter came out. And then all the remaining chapters after that, if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see, it is these doubts that has constantly came into Arjuna's mind. Krishna is answering those doubts. That's all it is. That you have to know. Because if you look Bhagavad Gita carefully, this importance of 2nd and 3rd chapter should remain in our head all the time. That's why importantly, many, many important things in that 2nd and 3rd chapter, you can see. And from afterwards, it's answering the questions that's come from the 2nd and 3rd chapter. Listen, you'll see that when you go to Bhagavad Gita, you'll see Arjuna's questions coming out based on the misconceptions he got from the 2nd and 3rd chapter. Similarly, in Bhagavadam, Uddhavapadesham starts on the 7th chapter, isn't it? On 7th chapter he started. First he spoke about the 24 spiritual masters, King Yadu, Dattatreya Maharshi's meeting, all that discussions happened. After that, the major thing what Krishna wanted to say to Uddhava is in that 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th chapter. With 13th chapter, the perfection of realization has been spoken. What happens after this realization. So after 13th chapter, now Uddhava's mind is working in a different direction. You can see that from the questions that is coming from Uddhava. Just like we saw in the 4th chapter, how Arjuna's questions came out. Similarly, Uddhava's questions now starts coming up from the 14th chapter. Another important aspect of this 14th chapter is Krishna has given great importance to bhakti in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is a bhakti grantham basically. It's a science of bhakti. Bhagavadam is the science of bhakti. Bhagavadam is also a jnana grantham, science of knowledge as well, both. Jnanam and bhakti, they are the main two topics. But after hearing from Uddhava in these questions, you will see some things coming up. Uddhava started realizing this process what Krishna has spoken in this last 13th chapter is somewhat difficult. Somewhat difficult. And ultimately, Uddhava asking Krishna, that lot of things you have spoken, why all these different conceptions in people's mind? Why people have got different understanding about this? At one point you have told me, salsanga sevaya bhaktiya, you should have bhakti. You have told me that before. And what kind of bhakti? That has come from salsangam. That means association with realized souls. That bhakti. Not the bhakti what we create. But the bhakti that has come from the association of great devotees or great jnanis. In other words, that bhakti, which is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita also. That kind of bhakti, you have mentioned that it is important.
So, Uddhava is asking some questions now, that you mentioned about bhakti like that. And in this last chapter, you spoke about knowledge so much, about jnanam, isn't it? Why all these different conceptions have come in the human mind, in the human society? Some people say that this is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. Somebody else says something else is the conclusion. And a third person says something else is the conclusion. We're going to look at that now. All different conclusions people come. And all of them are saying it's come from the Vedas. Vedas are telling us this is the conclusion. And now you are telling me that your conclusions are like this. Whose is the right conclusion? Uddhava is asking the same question. Just similar, something like Arjuna's doubts. Then what is the right conclusion? Tell me that. What is, in your opinion, what is the conclusion? Uddhava wants to know that from Krishna. So many people, and you have to give credit to all of them, because they are not ordinary people who are saying this. They are all highly advanced and highly realized souls. Some people are saying austerities are important. Some people are saying penances are important. Some people are saying truthfulness is important. Some people are saying charity is important. Some people are saying knowledge is important. In your opinion, what is the most important thing? This is the question Uddhava is posing in front of Krishna. So, in other words, Uddhava is still finding it difficult to follow this process of knowledge. It's not easy for Uddhava. Uddhava is a devotee. In the sense that the devotional mood in Uddhava is so high towards Krishna. But what it required some correction somewhere. It should not be based purely on the body and the form. And that is why when Uddhava says to Krishna that I am leaving, immediately Uddhava started crying like a child. He was crying, isn't it? Naham tavangri kamalam chanardham avikeshava tyaktum samulsahe nada sudhava naimamapi. He says in the 7th chapter. Naham tavangri kamalam. I cannot stay away from this lotus feet, chanardham, even for a second. Tyaktum samulsahe nada. Leave me alone here. Sudhava naimamapi. Take me also with you wherever you are going. This is what Uddhava was crying to Krishna. So Krishna understood at that point, Uddhava has in reach understood what I am yet. There is no question of separation from Krishna, isn't it? At no point any one of us are separated from Krishna. What is happening to us is, there is an ignorance in us, covering us, saying to us that we are separate from Krishna. We have not been separated from Krishna. Because if we are separated from Krishna, we cannot live in this body. Only because of His presence inside, we are living. That is a proof that we are not being separated. But then what is making us to feel that we are separated? That is avidya. That is ajnanam. And that is how Ekadasha Skandam, these 3-4 chapters were spoken. That in my absence, your existence doesn't happen. You don't exist in my absence. So there is no separation has happened from Krishna. But Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Tektum samulsahe nada sudhama naimamabhi. Take me also with you where you are going. That Krishna thought it's a bit silly to say that. That after staying with me, is this why you are with me for last 115 years? And is this what you have understood about me? This was the point Krishna wanted to say. So it's all right. You have been wearing my garland. You are taking prasadam and everything. That's all fine. But if this understanding hasn't come to you, then your realization has not been very good. So Krishna decided to speak, and then he spoke these few chapters, 10, 11 and 12. But Uddhava is a devotee. He finds it difficult to stay away from Krishna anytime. So from now on, you will see the questions what Uddhava is raising and the answers what Krishna is giving for that. Let's look at that. Shri Uddhava Uvacham Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadina Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Egamukhyadam Bhavado Dahrida Swamin Bhakti Yogo Anabekshida Nirasya Sarvadam Sangam Yenatvaya Vishen Manam Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Kalena Nashtapralaye
वाणीयं वेदसंहिता मयादो ब्रह्मणे प्रोक्ता धर्मो यस्यां मदात्मगाहम् तेन प्रोक्ता च पुत्राय मनवे पूर्वजाय सा तदो बृग्वादयो अग्रहन् सप्त ब्रह्म महर्षयाः तेभ्य पितृभ्य तल्पुत्र देवदानवगुह्यगा मनुष्या सिद्धगन्धर्वा सविद्याधरचारिणाः किं देवा किन्नरा नाग रक्ष किं पुरुषोदय बह्वस्तेषा प्रकृतयो रजसत्त्वतमो भुवाम् याभिर्भूतानि विद्यन्ते भूतानां मधयस्तथा यथा प्रकृति सर्वेषां चित्रा वाजस्रवन्दिः एवं प्रकृतिवैचित्र्याल् विद्यन्ते मतयो नृणां पारम्पर्येण केषाञ्चल् पाखण्डमतयोपरि मन्मायामोहितधिया पुरुषापुरुषर्षभा श्रेयो वदन्त्यनेकान्तं यथा कर्म यथा रुचिं धर्ममेगे यशश्चान्ये कामं सत्यं दमं शमम् अन्ये वदन्ति स्वार्थं वा ऐश्वर्यं त्यागभोजनं केचिल्यज्ञं तपोदानं व्रतानि नियमान्यमान् आद्यन्तवन्द एवैषां लोका कर्मविनिर्मिताः दुःखोदर्कस्तमो निष्ठा क्षुद्रानन्दाशु चार्पिताः मय्यर्पितात्मनसभ्य निरपेक्षस्य सर्वदाः मयात्मना सुखं यत्तल् कुतः स्याद् विषयात्मनम् अकिञ्चनस्य दान्तस्य शान्तस्य समचेतसाः मया सन्तुष्टमनसा सर्वा सुखमया दिशा न पारमेष्ट्यं न महेन्द्रदिष्ट्यं न सार्वभौमं नरसाधिपत्यं न योगसिद्धि अपुनर्भवं वा मय्यर्पिताल्मे चलिमद्युनान्यल् न धदा मे प्रियतम आत्मयोनिर्न शङ्कर न च सङ्घर्षणो न श्री नैवात्मा च यथा भवान् निरपेक्षं मुनिं शान्तं निर्वैरं समदर्शिनम् अनुव्रजाम्यहं नित्यं पूयेयेत्यङ्घ्रिरेणुभि निष्किञ्चना मय्यनुरक्तचेतसाः शान्ता महान्तो अखिलजीववत्सलाः कामै अनालब्धधियो जुषन्दियल् तन्नैरपेक्ष्यत्न विदुःसुखं मम बाध्यमानो विमल्भक्तो विषयै अजितेन्द्रियाः प्रायः प्रगल्भया भक्त्या विषयैर्नाभिभूयते यथाग्निल् सुसमर्थार्चि करोथेधांसि भस्मसात् तथा मद्विषया भक्ति उद्धवै नांसि कृष्णशा न साधयति मां योगो न साङ्ख्यं धर्म उद्धवा न साध्वायस्तपस्त्यागोल् यथा भक्तिर्ममोर्जिताम् भक्त्याहमेकया ग्राह्य श्रद्धयात्मा प्रिय सदां भक्त्या पुनादिमन्निष्ठाल् शोभागा अपि सम्भवा धर्मसत्यो सत्यदयो भेदो विद्या वा तपसान्विता मल्भक्त्या भेदमात्मानं न सम्यक् प्रमुनातिः कथं विना रोमहर्षं द्रवदा चेतसा विना विनानन्दश्रुकलया शुद्धेल् भक्तिविनाशयां वा गद्गदा द्रवदेयस्य चित्तम् उदत्यभीक्ष्णं हसति क्वचिच्च विलज्जमुल्गायदि नृत्यते च मल्भक्तियुक्तो भुवनं भुनादि यथाग्निना हेममलं जहादि मातं पुनस्वं भजते च रूपम् आत्मा च कर्मानुशयं कर्मानुशयं विधूय मद्भक्तियोगेन भजत्यथो मां यथा यथात्मा परिमृज्यते सौ मल्पुण्यघाताश्रवणाभिधानै तथा तथा पश्यति वस्तु सूक्ष्मं चक्षुर्यथैवञ्जनसं प्रयुक्तं विषयान्ध्यायतश्चित्तं विषयेषु विषज्जते मामनुस्मरतश्चित्तं मय्येव प्रविलीयते तस्मासविध्यानं यथा स्वप्नमनोरथं हित्वा मयि समाधल्स्व मनो मद्भावभाविदं स्त्रीणां श्रीसङ्गिनां सङ्गं त्यक्त्वा दूरतमात्मवान् क्षेमे विविक्तमासीनं चिन्तयेन्माम् अतन्द्रिदाहम् न तदास्य भवेत् क्लेशो बन्धश्चान्यप्रसङ्गदा योषिल्सङ्गाद्यथा पुंसो तथा यथा तल्सङ्गिसङ्गदाहं श्री उद्धव उवाच यथा त्वामरविन्दाक्ष यादृशं वा यदात्मकं ध्यायेन्मुमुक्षुरेदन्मे ध्यानं मे वक्तुमर्हसि ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ ഉവാചാം സമമാസനമാസീനം സമഗായോ യഥാ സുഖം ഹസ്താവുൽസംഗമാധായ സ്വനാസാഗ്രകൃതേ ക്ഷണാം ഘൃപ്രാണസ്യ ശോധയേന്മാർഗം പൂരകുംഭകരേ ജഗൈ വിപര്യേനാവിശനൈ അഭ്യസേ നിർജിതേന്ദ്രിയാം കീർത്യ വിച്ഛിന്നമോങ്കാരം ഗന്ധാനാഥം വിസോർണവൻ പ്രാണേനോദീര്യതത്രാധ പുനം സംവേശയേത് സ്വരം ഏവം പ്രണവ സംയുക്തം പ്രാമേവ സമഭ്യസേൽ ദശകൃത്വത്രിഷവണം വാസദർവാഗ്ധിതാനിലാം ഹൃൽപുണ്ഡരീകമന്ദസ്ഥം ഊർധ്വനാളമധോമുഖം ദ്യാധോർദ്ധന്മുഖമുന്നിദ്രം അഷ്ടവത്രം സകർണികം കർണികായാമ്യസേൽ സൂര്യം സോമാഗ്നി ഉത്തരോത്തരം വന്നിമധ്യേ സ്മരേൽ ധ്രൂപം മമൈതൽ ധ്യാനമംഗളം സമം പ്രശാന്തം സുമുഖം ദീർഘചാര ചതുർഭുജം സുചാരു സുന്ദരഗ്രീവം സുഖപോലം ശുചിസ്മിതം സമാനകർണവിന്യസ്തം സ്ഫുരന്മകരകുണ്ഡലം ഹേമാംബരം ഘനശ്യാമം ശ്രീവത്സശ്രീനികേതനം ശംഖചക്രഗദാപദ്മം വനമാലാവിഭൂഷിതം നൂപുരേർവിലസൽപാദം കൗസ്തുഭപ്രഭയായുധം ദ്യുമൽകിരീടകടകം കടിസൂത്രാംഗദായുധം സർവാംഗസുന്ദരം ഹൃദ്യം പ്രസാദസുമുഖേക്ഷണം സുകുമാരമഭിധ്യായേത് സർവാംഗേഷു മനോധതത് ഇന്ദ്രിയാനിന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥേഭ്യോ മനസാകൃഷ്യതന്മന ബുദ്ധ്യാസാരധീനാധീര പ്രണയേന്മയി സർവദാഹ തത്സർവ്യാപകം ചിത്തം ആകൃഷ്യൈകത്ര ധാരയേത് നാന്യാനി ചിന്തയേത് ഭൂയ സുസ്മിതം ഭാവയേന്മുഖം തത്ര ലബ്ധപദം ചിത്തം ആകൃഷ്യ വ്യോം നിധാരയേത് തച്ചത്യക്ത്വാ മദാരോഹോ ന കിഞ്ചിദപി ചിന്തയേത് ഏവം സമാഹിതമതിർ മാമേവാത്മാനമാത്മനി വിചേഷ്ടേ മൈ സർവാത്മൻ ജ്യോതിർജ്യോതിഷി സംയുതം ധ്യാനേനേത്തം സുതീവ്രേണ യുഞ്ജതോ യോഗിനോ മന സംയസ്യത്യാശു നിർവാണം ദ്രവ്യജ്ഞാനക്രിയാഭ്രമാഹ 46 verses in that chapter. Krishna has answered this question from Uddhava. Uddhava's first question was, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanya Mudaho Ega Mukheda. So, in this 14th chapter, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava's question is, Vadandi Krishna, asking Krishna, Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadina. Brahmavadina, or people who have come to that high realized state, Krishna Vadandi, they are saying, Bahuni, there are many ways of attaining the Self, in the Self, or what is the ultimate reality. Many ways one can realize this. Uddhava is saying here, is asking, Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Utaho Eya Mukhyadam. Has each one of that path, what they have given, as I mentioned before, different sages also, they talk about different things, isn't it? Some sages are saying that truthfulness is important. Somebody is saying that austerity is important. Somebody is saying charity is important. In their own way, if you look at it, they are all correct also, because If it was ordinary people saying something, Uddhava would not have bothered about it. Why Uddhava is raising this issue is, these are coming from people, personalities who are very advanced in the spiritual life. Some great sages are saying this. That, so, listening to them, Uddhava is asking this question to Krishna. Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam. That why this difference in their opinion, that what is the ultimate benefit for the living entity. Yes, each one of them important, because here the question is, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi, Shreyasa. What is Shreyasa? Shreyasa means what the ultimate benefit for everyone. What's the ultimate benefit? Shreyasa and Prayasa, you know what they mean, isn't it? Prayasa means which is immediate benefit. Shreyasa means ultimately what is good for us. That's what it means. So what is ultimately good for us? Shreyascha Prayascha, it says in the Kathopanishad also. So, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi, what is the ultimately beneficial for us? What should we do in this world? What is beneficial for you? This is the question Uddhava is asking. And there is this Bahuni Brahmavadina. Brahmavadis are saying, or the Brahmavadi means basically advanced souls or realized souls. the Brahmavadis, they are sages, all of them, they are saying bahuni, many things they are saying, that this is what you should do, this is what you should do. Somebody is saying you should perform sacrifices, that is the perfection of life. Somebody is saying charity, somebody is saying truthfulness, somebody is saying austerities. Which one? This is Uddhava's question to Krishna. Tesham vikalpa pradhanyam, that has they got some importance, or vikalpa pradhanyam means according to one's liking that you take it, or is there all of them important, or is there one of them which is important? This is Krishna Arjuna Uddhava's question. Is all of them important equally, or is there only one of them important? So you can see the confusion in Uddhava's mind. That's why he's saying Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Egamukhyada. Are they all equally important, or there is only one thing that is important? How should I understand? The problem, as I said before, all of these great sages, they are talking on the authority of the Vedas. On the authority of the Vedas. And the frame Vedas as the authority, they are all bringing this different theory or bring different understanding about. And they are saying this is the conclusion of the Veda. One person is saying like that. Another person is saying this is the conclusion of the Veda. So what to do? This is the Uddhava's question. It's a very important question, because when you see Krishna's answer, you will see how we all get caught in the same problem in our spiritual life. We all have the same problem, comes through our spiritual life. So Uddhava again says, Bhavado Bhavato Udahrada Swamin Bhakti Yogo Anabekshida Nirasya Sarvada Sangam Yena Toy Yavishain Mana. That my understanding, Krishna Uddhava is saying here, that without any desire, what I have understood so far, Uddhava is saying, without any desire, I should execute Krishna consciousness. And no attachment to any of sense enjoyment, and give up all sense gratification, and I should fix my mind upon you, completely fix upon you. Yena toya vishayin mana, toya vishayin mana. Earlier, if you remember, in the 7th chapter, Krishna also said that, isn't it? Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajana bandushu maya vishya mana samyak samadrik vijarasvagam, he says. Samyak means completely fix your mind upon me, and samadrik vijarasvagam, samadrik, with an equal vision, move in this world. That's what he said. Isn't it? Samadrik. That samam state is a realized state. Remember, we talked about that in the Bhagavad Gita classes also. Samam mind has got these four states, isn't it? What are they? Vikshepam, that is the state normally we are in. Then the layam, the sleeping mode. Then we have kashaya state, and finally the samam state, samam. The samam is an important word in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Bhagavad Gita, you will find so many places word used, samam. Bhagavadam also you will find the same way. Samam. Samam means that state where samasthiri. Practically there is no mind in that state. There is no mind. Mind is finished. Mind, from the Shastram, the mind is only there because of the disturbances inside. When you have disturbances inside, the mind will be there. When there is no disturbance inside, it is samam. That means there is no mind. Mind doesn't exist at that time. So, that mind which is causing these disturbances, once that is gone, then it is samasthiri. That's why that samasthiti only is the state all the realized souls are. Vidya Vinaya Sambandha Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Shobhageja Pandita Samadarshina Samadarshitam. So when Samadarshitam happens, what happens? Samadarshitam does not mean that all of us are samam, equal. That's not what it means. Samadarshitam means the one thing that is common in all of us. What is that? Soul, the soul, which is samam. So if somebody sees others all purely as a soul, spirit soul, then he is samam. There is no more different bhedam there, isn't it? Bheda buddhi is what comes from where? From the body. From Shariram comes Vedabuddhi. What is Vedabuddhi? Vedabuddhi means to see somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy. I'll support him because he is my friend. I don't like him, so I'll kick him. This is Vedabuddhi. This Vedabuddhi is very difficult to get rid of. Even after coming to spiritual life, Vedabuddhi follows with us when we don't take these things seriously from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So you can observe people's activities, how powerful this Vedabuddhi is. So Vedabuddhi is showing that there is no samam inside. Krishna is saying, samatvam yogam uchyate. Bhagavad Gita sentence there. There is a word. This samatvam is yogam. Krishna calls it as yogam. Samatvam yogam uchyate. So this yoga state is that samam state, where the mind is accepting everyone on an equal level. That's purely on a spiritual platform. And this, as I mentioned, you will see in so many great personalities. This one quality, at some point in their life, they will exhibit here, in this world. Just to tell us what they are, actually, what state they are. And that is the best indication to know that he is an advanced person. He is a realized soul. This samatvam. Samatvam. You can see that in Lord Buddha's case, I mentioned that. You can see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Devotee will say, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, he can do anything what he wants. That's the way a devotee will look at it. Just like, as I mentioned, that when Mahaprabhu went to the Jharkhand forest, when they were dancing, tigers and elephants and deer, they all started dancing there when they heard the holy name. Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing at that time, isn't it? So people make the understand that, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, therefore they are dancing. If we sing the holy name, they will never dance, they'll eat us. Catch hold of and eat us. This is how we will talk about it, isn't it? But that is a very ignorant statement to say like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not that he was God, he was doing that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's state of consciousness also we have to understand. This samatvam is the reason behind it. When that samatvam has come, there is no tiger, there is no elephant, there is no deer. There's only the soul there. There's only the soul there. He's not seeing the differences anymore. And if the person, somebody is seeing those animals in that way, although they are in the animal's body, they will not respond in the animal way to us. Because the way you see them, they see you. The way you see them, they see you. So similarly, Mahaprabhu was seeing these animals, but he was only seeing them, Krishna in all of them, nothing else. So naturally, they had, when we call a tiger, oh, you're a tiger, does the tiger know that he's a tiger? He doesn't know. I have imposed this name on him. He's a tiger. Be careful about him. So what does that mean? As soon as you say the word tiger, what do we say? He's going to, you have to be frightened about it. Isn't it? Tiger doesn't know anything. He only knows his body. His job is to eat everyone we can get hold of. That's what tiger does. But I am frightened. It creates an emotion, excitement in me, in my mind, that I have to be frightened of him. As soon as I am frightened of him because of that body which is there, not seeing the soul in him, in that tiger, immediately I am affected. I have created a certain emotions, excitement in that, and the result after that all follows, all the results of that. But if somebody has not felt that fear, why? Because he's not seeing that anymore, tiger. Same thing with a lion or with a deer or elephant or anybody. So all these animals in the forest, they responded in that way according to the vision of the seer, of one who is seeing them. That is what it is. But generally we will say, he was God, so he could do all these things. We can't do all that. Better not to talk about it. And we'll think like that. Isn't it? No, Krishna is not saying like that. Krishna is saying that all these things are possible for us to reach that state. All self-realized souls have done this. It's not only in case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this has happened. Lord Buddha's case, if you take, you will see exactly the same thing happened. Buddha went to the forest and the wild elephants were serving him in the forest. Tigers were serving him. It is all recorded by his own disciples later. When they went looking for him, what they saw in the forest, the scene, they were so impressed by Buddha's relationship with the wild animals in the forest. Why is that? The same state. same state. There is no more enmity anymore between them. So, Vadanti Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam. So, the people are saying there are so many things. So, we are talking about this samatvam, isn't it? Samam. Vidyavinaya Sambhanya. Bhagavad Gita also says, isn't it? Vidyavinaya Sambhanya Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuni Jaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshina, he says. Does that mean the Pandita from then on, after he has read Bhagavad Gita's words, he starts thinking, oh, they are all equal now. The dog eater, the Brahmana, the elephant, the cow. No, that's not what it means. What he means is that he has already come to that vision. His vision is from then on, is only on the soul. Therefore, Samadarshina. Because he has realized that it's all the soul that is present in all these different bodies. In the Bhagavad Gita, as you know these words, Vidya Vinaya Sampanni, that when Vidya or knowledge has come and realization has come, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Brahmana, cow, elephant, dog, shuni, shobagan, dog eater, a pandita is samadarshina. Pandita means learned. Pandita does not mean actually knowledge of the shastram, but realization of the shastram. One who has realized that, he will see everything on an equal level, samadarshina. That is that state Krishna is talking about. So, samadarshitvam is the first quality in a realized soul. Once you have reached that samadarshitvam state, you can say that it is fully realized platform. That is, there is no more fear or excitement about anything after that. Perfect shanti or peace inside. So, so here, in that verse, Krishna says to Uddhava, Tvindu sarvam parityajya, give up everything in this world, attachment to everything. Sarvam parityajya. Tvindu sarvam parityajya. Then, sneham swajana bandushu. First thing is, all attachment to relatives and swajanam, one's own people. Family and relatives, everything. They swajana bandushu. Then, my avesha mana, fix your mind upon me. Mayavishamana samyak. Samyak means in such a way that it will not break away again. In such a way you fix it. Then samadrik. Then the stage comes of this samadrik. Equal vision in all living entities. Vijarasugam. After that there is nothing to do. Walk in this world freely. This was the instruction in the 7th chapter when Krishna began this Ekadasha Skandam instructions to Uddhava. Now here Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Nirasya sarvada sangam yena toy avishen mana. That I understood from you, the important thing is I should fix my mind upon you and completely absorbed in you, giving up all other attachment. In other words, Uddhava understood the importance of bhakti, bhakti yoga, that fixing his mind completely upon Krishna. But if it is like that, all other things are capable of giving me freedom or liberation from this material existence equally, then anyone can accept anything, isn't it? Suppose there are so many different options. Karmam, jnanam, bhakti, yogam, all different processes. And if different goals are to be achieved at the end, then is there any necessity to follow that process? This is Uddhava's question. Then, suppose if you require the help of one to do the other, then there can be a possibility that you may not be able to reach that goal properly. Therefore, I have these doubts about it, about this whole processes. I have different doubts about it. Uddhava is saying that I have doubts. Initially, I understood from you, I should fix my mind upon you, ultimately, giving up all my attachment to this world. Sarvam varitya sneham sajana bandushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrik vijarasugam. So, mana samyak, mayavesha mana. In other words, fix the mind upon me, samyak, in such a way that it will not come apart again. And samadrik, with that equal vision, vijarasugam, travel in this world. This is what I was told from the beginning. So, I am now thinking that after hearing these last four chapters, I'm completely confused. Uddhava is saying
that so many things he have spoken there. So is all these, and the Brahmavadis, they are also telling us that there are different goals at the end in life. There are different goals in life at the end. If it is like that, then what should I do? Uddhava is a little bit confused about this. I understood from you that I should fix myself upon you and Mayaveshyamana and go forward with that. But after hearing your lecture so far, these four chapters, 10, 11, 12 and 13, and also looking at all the other great jnanis and the realized sages, they are telling me, what they are telling us, I am getting confused. This was Uddhava's point. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna's answer is very interesting answer. Kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda samhidaha mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madatmagaha. So, kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda samhida. At the time of devastation, that this vani of Vedas has been lost. And in the time of creation, I have spoken to Lord Brahma about this, the same question. I have answered to Brahma. And the main thing is dharmo yasyam madatmaga. To realize that, to fix yourself, your soul in me, or realizing the self, in other words, fixing yourself on the soul is the dharma. Dharmo yasyam madatmaga. So, after Krishna says that the thing was lost, like Bhagavad Gita also says, isn't it? The knowledge was lost. So there, it is the knowledge that was lost. Here, what was lost? Krishna is saying here that Vedas mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madatmaga. Dharmam was lost. There, yogam was lost. And that means the knowledge was lost. Realization, realized knowledge. Here, dharmam was lost, he says, due to the span of time, due to devastation, he says. The thing was, the conclusions have spoken to Brahma at the time of creation. And there is only one conclusion from the Shastram. That is madatmaga. Madatmaga means understand who I am, Krishna, who is Krishna, and surrendering to him. That is madatmaga. Madatmaga too means that, to simply surrendering to Krishna, which is bhakti. So in this 14th chapter, Krishna is going to talk about bhakti. Bhakti is the main topic in this 14th chapter. Just like in the 13th chapter, jnanam was spoken. In this 14th chapter, Krishna will talk about bhakti. Throughout Ekadasha Skandam, you will see one thing. Various things Krishna will say, but at the end, he'll bring everything together and tie it to bhakti. That's the beauty of Ekadasha Skandam. Even jnanam, at the end, jnanam, Krishna will say, this will not happen unless you have bhakti, unless there is bhakti. And that bhakti, you should get it from satsangam. Also, Krishna said in the 12th chapter, isn't it? Krishna spoke about that in the 12th chapter. In satsanga sevaya bhaktiya, that bhakti that has been received from satsangam, that bhakti, Uddhava, is the topmost thing to achieve in this world. If you have reached that proper state of bhakti, all this knowledge will follow in a natural way. You don't have to particularly endeavor for that. It may not be necessary to do that. This also Krishna will make it clear. In this chapter, that is what Krishna is going to say. But prior to talking about that, from now on, in the next 7 verses, Krishna is going to say how the Vedic knowledge became so distributed in different ways. How it has come about in so many different ways in front of the world. Because it is not one conclusion from the Vedas, isn't it? People say different things, as I mentioned before, that a lot of different conclusions have come. And that is what he's going to talk about in the next 7 verses. So he says here that in the time of creation, I have instructed this to Lord Brahma. And the main topic that I have discussed there is bhakti. By doing what? Eventually your mind will get fixed in me.
That is what I have discussed. And the easiest process is bhakti. Therefore, I consider that as the best process. The easiest process is bhakti. And therefore, I consider that as the best process. Now, when he says bhakti, when Krishna says bhakti, you should not immediately think, oh, jnanam is all useless, karma is all useless, I am a bhakta, nothing else I will do, I will only do bhakti. All this bhakti, jnanam is also a part of this. They are not independent on its own. They also come and play its own role. Bhakta is also a jnani. Jnani is also a bhakta. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, if you read, Krishna is saying, ego bhaktir visheshyade priyohi jnaninothartam aham sacha mama priya. There he is glorifying jnani like anything. Here Krishna is saying, I don't want to hear, the bhakti process is the best. So when you read all that, in our mind, because we are trapped in the mind, Krishna is not trapped in the mind, we are trapped in the mind, immediate tendency is to reject and take the shortcut, isn't it? So we'll start thinking, oh, jnanam is not important. No, jnanam is important. Karmam is important. That is also, bhakti is, there is no need to talk about bhakti. Why? Because that is the ultimate goal. Jnanam, karmam, they are all there to help us. But without bhakti, neither jnanam nor karmam can survive without bhakti. So in order to stress that point, this you have to study Bhagavad Gita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam together. Only then you will get this message properly. Otherwise, if you pick, choose one or two verses here and there in some chapter and start saying, I understood everything, start saying like that, it will not come through. So the main thing is, Krishna is saying here, that the Vadandi Krishna Shrayamsi, that asking this question to Krishna, Bhuvani Brahmavadina, Brahmavadis have come up with different conclusions, and how Krishna is stressing this point, Uddhava, all this so-called jnanam, karmam, everything, without the support of bhakti, it will not mature, it will not materialize properly. That is the way Krishna is presenting bhakti to Uddhava. Because in the subsequent verses, from now on, if you look later, you will see that throughout Ekadasha Skandam, both jnanam and bhakti is glorified at different places. Chapter 28 is all about Jnanamargam. Chapter 29 is all about Bhakti. So Jnanamargam and Bhakti Margam is all the time discussed, one after the other. And our consciousness should be such, not to reject one and pick the other, thinking that this alone will work, that is not necessary. If it was like that, Arjuna Krishna would not have spoken about the Jnanamargam in the Bhagavadam. Shrimad Bhagavatam. So much Vedantam and Upanishads is in the Ekadasha Skandam. You can't deny that. If it was only bhakti, Krishna had a separate existence from jnanam, Krishna would have only spoken about that. On the other hand, Krishna continuously spoke about that jnanamargam and similarly supported along with that with the bhakti. That is the important message from the Bhagavatam. Sridharajani Swamiji's commentary is all based on that understanding. So, here, he says here that bhakti I consider as the most important dharma. Dharma means our eternal realization should be bhakti. But in order that bhakti, jnanam and karmam also cannot be rejected at that time, because if karmam is not sorted first, all our so-called bhakti also is not going to get anywhere, not going to get very far. So therefore, Karma Yogam Krishna spoke with so much stress on Karma Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And in the whole of second chapter, majority of second chapter is related to Jnanam, Sankhyam, isn't it? Jnanam and Sankhyam, not much of a difference. So how can one, when you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam closely, impossible to reject anything. Everything is together. They are all together. And it is our proper understanding, it is the problem is our mind. The trap is coming from the mind. Mind is causing the problem. Should I take this or should I take that? Or is this correct? Is that right? There he said like this, here he is saying like that. All these problems happening due to the presence of the mind. So here Krishna is glorifying bhakti. Exactly like in the last chapter he glorified jnanam. He glorified jnanam in the last chapter, isn't it? To the Kumaras he spoke. Pure jnanam it is. And here it is pure bhakti he is going to talk about. And in this process, Krishna will say to Uddhava a lot of important things. What is a devotee? That you have to understand here from this chapter. Whom is Krishna calls as a devotee? The definition of a devotee. Some of the definitions, if you read what is mentioned here as a devotee, it will be very difficult to find one devotee in this world. It is so hard to find one devotee in this world. The very definition of a devotee is like that. So, devotee is not an ordinary thing. We are thinking devotee is a very simple thing, isn't it? But if you look at Krishna's definition of a devotee, Niravekshaṁ munim shāndam nirvairam samadarshinam anuvrajāṁ aham nityam puyeyetyangrirenubhi. There is a verse in there, later on you can see. Niravekshaṁ. Niravekshaṁ means one who has no aveksha. One who does not want anything in this world. So how many devotees are there in that state? Nirapeksham. We are devotees who have got a full list what we want. Isn't it? That's the type of devotees we are. So if you take that nira word from there, our definition, apeksham, everything. Everything is apeksha here. Do it for this for me, Krishna. Do that for me, Krishna. Always, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. This way. This life is going on in this way, isn't it? And when something good happens, oh, Krishna is supporting me because my sense gratification is going well, so Krishna is with me. If my sense gratification is interrupted, Krishna is upset with me. This way, judgment goes on through this thing called mind, isn't it? So, Bhagavatam is saying, Niravaksham munim shandam. He is a muni. He's a thoughtful person. Niravaksham. He has no desires inside. Absolutely no desire inside. Even if there is a slightest desire, a tinge is sufficient, that will manifest in us straight away. Isn't it? That is what motivates us to do so many things in this world. But Niravaksham is a state which is difficult to reach that state. Very, very difficult. And that muni, thoughtful person, muni means mauinam, who is silent, or who is thoughtful, shandam, is always peaceful. Niravaksham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam. Nirvairam. Nirvairam means he has no enemies in this world to anybody. No living entity is his enemy. Isn't it? And Krishna said this when demigods went to see him in the heavenly, Hiranyakashipu started the austerities and penances. All the demigods went to see Krishna. And Krishna says to them, I know what is going on there, he says. I know what's going on. I know what Hiranyakashipu is doing. But I won't do anything now about that. So the demigods were very upset about it. They were saying that the penances and austerities of Hiranyakashipu was so severe that the whole prana in the creation has started moving due to the pressure from inside Hiranyakashipu's body. The yogic power is happening there in such a way it's coming out that the whole prana, the air in the whole world was becoming affected by the influence of the yoga. What Hiranyakashipu was practicing that. Krishna says, no, I'm not going to do anything. Let him perform his penances. But then, in the next verse, he told him that when he starts destroying the Vedas, when he gives troubles to the Brahmanas, when he starts destroying the temples, places of worship, when he starts stopping all the Vedic sacrifices, at that time I will act, he says. Krishna says, I will act. So demigod says, that has all happened long ago, he says. It's not a new thing. It's been happening for so long that Brahmanas have all stopped their sacrifices and gone. Temples have all been closed down. And Hiranyakashipu is saying, if ever you want to open a temple, I'll be the one who will be worshipped in the temple. That was Hiranyakashipu's law. And then he also said, cow slaughtering, no problem, he says. If you want to eat the cows, eat them. There's nobody going to stop you. I'm all for that. This was Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu was a person who had no consideration for Vedic philosophy or culture. So when they presented this to Krishna, Krishna says, I'm conscious of that all this is happening, but I've decided to wait.
So the demigods asked, when are you going to act?
Narvairaya prashandaya sasudaya mahalpani prahladaya dadruhye hanishe bivarorjidam.
There is a verse in the Bhagavatam, in the Saptamaskandam, you will see this. Nirvairaya
prashandaya sasudaya mahalpane.
That Hiranyakashipu's dearest son, the child, Prahladaya, that Prahlada, who is Nirvairaya. Nirvaira means he has no enemy in this world. What does that mean? He is also in that platform of samatvam, samam. Everywhere for Prahlada there is only soul. There is no individual bodies in different places. Body is nothing but false ego, isn't it? It's a false ego, that is, this body is. So many false egos are wandering around in this world. Now the false ego population is about 7 billion now. And false ego, they are saying by 2050 or something, there will be 10 billion false egos in this world. The statistics are going to say that. And they're worried about that, to pay the pension to all these people. They're saying it's not possible. So, Krishna is saying, Nirvairaya prashandaya sasudaya mahalpani. That Mahalpa, who is the son of Hiranyakashipu, sasudaya, how is he? Nirvairaya, no enmity anywhere. Because this state of samatvam, equality all the time. Nirvairaya prashandaya sasudaya mahalpani prakladaya. That Prahlada, yada druhye, when he puts his hand on him, hanishebi varorjidam, that I will kill him no matter what kind of bone Brahma gives to him, to Hiranyakashipu. Hanishebi varorjidam, whatever varam, whatever bone he gets from Brahma, I'm not going to bother. I will get in and finish him up at that point. He said that to Prahlada, to demigods. And the same thing here also, Nirvairaya Prashandaya, then Nirvairam. Nirvairam stage won't come by our own effort. It will come from self-realization. So even when we have enmity towards each other, say one person is inimical to somebody else, and or we have ill feeling towards someone, after reading this book, you decided, okay, when I see him next time, I'll smile at him. But inside is all burning. When I get the right time, I'll put the knife on. This is what happens if you study Bhagavatam in that way. But if you study, properly understand Bhagavatam, that vairam or enmity will only go if self-realization happens. Otherwise it won't go. That vairam will stay till the last minute. Even while leaving the world, will think about him, that he has done this to me. I will not forget that, he said, isn't it? So it's not possible. Once that has come in, it has to stay. It won't go. It has to get exhausted somehow. So either you have to put the knife on and finish up, or it has to go through self-realization. When self-realization happens, then it will go. Because then it cannot hold anymore inside. Vasana has gone inside from inside. So, Nirvairaya prashandaya susudaya mahalpane prahladaya edadruhi hanishyebi varorjidam. Krishna says there to the demigods. And here he says, Nirabeksham munim shandam Nirvairam samadarshinam. Look at the words, how it has been formed. Nirvairam samadarshinam. Nirvairam means total freedom from enmity towards anyone in this world, which has happened due to what? Samadarshinam. Due to samadarshinam, Nirvairam has happened. Not by studying etiquette and Vaishnava books. It won't happen. It will only happen from self-realization. Sometimes we artificially try to make it, isn't it? Suddenly we want to become very humble. One morning I decided, I want to be very humble to everyone. Prabhu, from now on I'll be so humble. Anyone, as soon as I came to the first person I saw, paid obeisances. Second one, paid obeisances. Finished the day and went home, thought, oh, that man, he has done this to me. I paid my obeisances to him. What good is it? So immediately the mind takes over, and mind is much more stronger than all our determination. The mind will take control over it. So all these studying books and trying to cultivate qualities will never work. We have to forget about all these etiquettes and nonsense. It's not going to work. Spiritually you can make realization. From self-realization, all the good qualities will come to the person.
Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam, Haravabhaktasya kuto mahatguna manorathena sadi davadobahi. That is the verse. You can take that and look at it. Anyone who has not developed pure devotion to Krishna, bhakti inside, for him, manorathena sadi, all his activities are based on the mind, davadobahi, where he is going to end up. That is the point. So, Srimad Bhagavatam has got only one thing to tell us. Realize the self, develop Krishna consciousness through bhakti. Bhakti process, realize the truth. Once it is realized, you don't have to independently work for this quality, that quality, that quality, and all the other quality what we want to. Somebody read 26 qualities in the Bhagavatam. He made a list of that in the computer database he created and put all the 26. He said, every day I'll practice one. After the 26th day, by the time 27th, all the first, second, third, all gone, forgotten. Only the 26th day, only 26th quality was there. 25 was gone. So then he chanted all the 26 qualities every day to see that if it will stay. Still it's not working. So ultimately he gave up everything. He says, I'll remain what I am. I'm not going to bother about anything. So this is how our effort, how much powerful it is. We try and it will all fail at the end. Nothing will work. Because the proof is, Krishna is saying here, that niravaksham manim shantam nurvairam samadarshinam. It is through self-realization. When I come to the platform of the soul, that is when the mind will go, intelligence will go, senses will not act, false ego is gone. In the platform of the self, all these qualities won't happen. So self-realization is the goal. Realizing the truth, what I am, will lead into all these other anartham, what we call as the anartham. That anartham will leave you and go. You don't have to get rid of them at that time. They will, on its own, they will leave you. They will not come back and haunt you again. So, niravaksham unim shantam nurvairam samadarshinam. Krishna is saying, anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyankrirenubhi. A person who has reached that state, the state of nirvairam samadarshinam, when he goes, Krishna says, I follow him. Why? I take the dust from his feet and put it on my head to purify myself. Krishna is saying this. Anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyankrirenubhi. The dust from his feet, it is an expression spoken in a literary language. In other words, Krishna gives so much respect to that person. That does not mean that Krishna is going after him all the time, taking the dust and putting it on his head. We will read it like that, isn't it? We will think Krishna must be collecting a lot of dust and keeping it. Wherever Krishna goes, he must be carrying a, what is that? Plastic bag with him, Tesco or supermarket bag. So that as soon as he finds some people like us, take some dust from there and put it in the bag. We should not misunderstand. The thing is, this is poetical expression. This is sage's language. It's like that. That is the respect for those devotees, what Krishna offers to devotees of that state. So, now, Krishna is going to say here something very, very important. What he says here is that this tena proktaja putraya manave purvajayasa tado brigvadayo agrahanan sapta brahma maharshaya. So, the thing is, Krishna says, that Uddhava, I am not blaming anyone for this situation, what is in this world today. It has happened due to some reason. All these things have happened with the different conclusions people have arrived at. When I spoke the Vedas originally, when I revealed the Vedas to the great sages, I had certain things in my thoughts. I had certain conceptions in my thoughts. In due course of time, when the sages received that, they have propagated their own understanding the way they have understood. That is why he is going to talk about that. He says here, Tena proktaja putraya manave purvajayasa tado brigvadayo agrihnan sapta brahma maharshaya. While coming about this, we are talking about this important thing that I was mentioning. Self-realization, Krishna consciousness automatically purifies a person without any external effort to do anything. You don't have to separately endeavor for anything, how to become humble, how to become truthful, how to become fixed up, how to go away from sinful activity, all these things, if Krishna bhakti, Krishna consciousness is inside, and bhakti develops inside, automatically all other good qualities will come to that person. And the bad qualities automatically leave him at that moment. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a finest example of that. You know that story of Shibi, King Shibi, Shibi Chakravarti. His story is there in the Bhagavatam. Great personality, believed in charity. Great charity. That is one personality. Lot of compassion for other living entities. In front of Shibi, all the demigods came in front of him begging for food. Shibi had so little left, he handed over the food to them. And then he was there, his wife was there, and wife's son and son's wife, four members all together. They had nothing to eat. So at that point, Shibi decided that he was going to eat. At that point, somebody else came asking for food. Shibi gave everything to everybody. At the end, there was nothing left to eat. So Shibi thought that compassion to other living entities is very important. He thought like that in his mind. So his realization was that there is nothing more than compassion to other living entities. You got the story of Mriga in the 10th canto, King Mriga's story, isn't it? You know, King Mriga believed in what? Charity, isn't it? When Krishna saw Mriga fell into like a lizard into the well, Krishna picked him up and brought him out, and he's asking Mriga, who are you? Fully knowing who he is, Krishna is asking him. All other cowherd boys, they were all present there, and Krishna is asking him, who are you? So he says, don't you know me? Mriga is saying to Krishna, I am King Mriga. Probably you may have heard about him. I am that great personality who performed so much charity, he says. So Krishna says, that's all fine. You have performed so much charity. You have to now go back. You want your result of your sinful activities or pious activities first. So Mriga believed strongly in charity, which is not wrong, because there are sages who have said that charity is so important. Shibi believed in compassion to other living entities. In Bhagavatam, you will find so many personalities coming like this. Krishna is saying, they are all correct, but they all have their own limits. Beyond than that is Krishna consciousness. We'll discuss it next Saturday, Sunday. Okay, so continue till 7:30. So that understanding that once bhakti is there, proper bhakti inside a devotee, Krishna says all other things are not significant at all. It's not important. They are already there in that person. That's what I say. Esyastya bhaktir bhagavat yaginjani sarvai gunaistatra samasude sura harava bhaktasya kudo mahal guna manoradhena sadi davado bhahi. That verse in the Bhagavadam is indicating that. Yeah. So here, Krishna has to explain this to Uddhava, why this different understanding has come into the society. Even now, you can see different people will talk about different things, isn't it? Somebody says yogam is important. Somebody else says jnanam is important. Somebody else is saying yajnam is important. And all these understanding, they are all correct also. Nobody is wrong. They are all correct. But Krishna is saying, from the time when I spoke to Brahma, all these different Vedic conclusions or Upanishads, the Vedic knowledge, in my mind, I have already concluded that the highest thing is to mayaveshya mana, to become, realize me, the soul, realize the truth. But not anything else. No charity, not truthfulness. But why did this happen? That's what he's going to explain in the next 7 verses. Krishna is going to talk about us. How did this happen in this world? You can understand this. Say, a lot of people are hearing from Bhagavatam. Yeah? So many people hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, if you ask them, they all would have understood in different ways. They all would have understood in different ways. Now, Krishna is saying that it is not my fault, Uddhava, why did this has happened. Because everyone will understand according to the modes of nature they are in. According to the modes of nature. And because Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, these three modes are mixed. They are not pure itself, isn't it? They are mixed in everyone. Accordingly, their realization from that will also change. When they hear, they will understand it in their own way. They will understand in their own way that you cannot stop it from happening. They cannot stop it from happening. You will see this all the time happening with people. They will hear somebody would have said something. Two people would have listened. He says, oh, he is saying like this. Somebody else says, no, he didn't mean that. He meant something else. So like this, different interpretations will come from that. And that is unavoidable. Krishna is going to say that. He says here, I spoke to Manu first, and Brahma spoke to Brahma. I spoke to Brahma. Brahma spoke to the son Manu. From Manu, Bhrigu, Marichi, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu. These seven sages learned this science. And they were all engaged in praja. Praja, they were prajapati, isn't it? Prajapati means they were engaged in creation process. Because they were engaged in creation process, they were called prajapati, but at the same time, they have known the secret of Brahman, Sushma Tattvam, or the underlying principle of Brahman were known, and they were sages, Brahmarshis. They were all sages. Tebhya pidrabhya talputra deva dhanava guhyagaha manushya siddha gandharvaha savidhyadhara charanaha. He says here, from that sages, their sons are demigods, demons, guhyagas, manushya, siddha, gandharva, vidyadhara, charana. They were all born from them. So these different species of these personalities, demigods, devas, asuras, the demons, guhyaga, another species, manushya, us, lot, siddhas, and gandharvas, vidyadharas, charanas. They were all born from these sages. Kindeva kinnarana agaha rakshakim purushadeyaha bahu astesham prakrutayo rajasattvatamo bhuvaham. He says here, kindevas, kinnaras, nagas, rakshas, kim purushas. All now, Vedas were spoken not only for the human species. We have to remember that. It was taken by others as well. Who all these different categories? Who are they? Kindeva, kinnara, naga, rakshasa, kim purusha. All of them also have taken Vedas. And in a parambaryam or in a tradition, they have also taken shelter of the Vedas. But these three modes of material nature, he says here, Bhakvastesham Pragradayo Rajasattva Tamobhua. Rajasa Sattvam Tamam. These three modes of nature will be in their intelligence at different levels. For example, Vidyadharas, Charanas, they are all on a higher level than us. Their intelligence is on a higher level. They can understand many things what we cannot understand. Nobody understands Vedas properly. As you know, that the Vedic hymns we chant, you can say you understood the Vedas. All the great authorities also agree with that. We have not understood the Vedas. Many of the Vedic hymns is so difficult to understand what it is trying to say. So therefore, we have so many commentaries on the Vedas. Even recent times, Aravindo and others, he has written commentaries on the Vedas, and he says, this is what the Vedas mean. And somebody else says something else. All great yogis, jnanis, they all come out with different conclusions from the Vedas because it's so difficult to understand Vedas. Similarly, according to the Rajasa, Sattvam, Tamogunam in a person, Krishna is saying here, these people who are listed here, Charana, Kinnaras, Vidyadharas and all, they have also understood Vedas in a different way. And Manushyas, us, we also understood in a different way. So, because the modes of nature are at different degrees in different people's intelligence. In human body, it is in one level. In Vidyadhara's body, it is on a different level. And in the Kinara's body is another level. So because of that, therefore, our ability to understand that purity inside is will not be the same. For example, human body's frailties or what do you say defects. Human body smells, isn't it? It sweats. And it gets tired, it sweats, and it smells also. All these are the problems of this human body. Demigod's body has got much more strength than us. They're stronger. They can stay without sleeping for 6 months, like we have to sleep every 12 hours. But they don't sleep in the same, every 12 hours they don't have to go to sleep. They have a long time span, 6 months day, 6 months night for them. So 6 months they are able to stay awake, and six months in the night they don't need necessarily sleep because there are a lot of entertainment going on there. So demigods, their bodies are different than us. They have strength and their senses are more powerful than us. Because that's how the type of body is created for them. And in addition to that, their body is not giving the same smell as we have. They don't need chlorine in their swimming pools like us do, us lot. So that difference in the body, what they've got, also depends on the three modes of nature in them. Their ability to understand things is much higher. Lot of the Vedic knowledge is already known to them by birth itself. We have to acquire the knowledge, isn't it? We have to acquire the knowledge. Just like in this world, if you look, every living entity, every species has been given certain power by Krishna's creation, isn't it? A bird can fly freely. It's a power already invested in that living entity, species. For us, we have to get the Airbus or the 747 or Boeing or something like that to fly, isn't it? Whereas the bird is already invested, that capacity is invested in the bird by nature's arrangement. So similarly, all other species also, Krishna has given them certain capacity to live in this world, and they are on a higher level compared to us. We are one of the medium levels. We are not the highest one. We are not the lowest either. We are somewhere in between. Why? Because Rajogunam is predominant in us. The other species, which you go to the lower planetary system, you will see Tamogunam is predominant in them. And if you go to the higher planets, you will see Satugunam is predominant in them. So according to the modes of material nature, their ability to grasp things from the Vedas and their understanding and realization will also vary. Obviously it will vary. In the human body, there is only up to a limit you can reach with the Vedic conclusions. Vedic hymns and Vedic understanding of the Vedas is so difficult. Even today, no one can say that they have understood and they can give you that this is the answer. So many interpretations have come from the Vedas at different times. So, the Krishna is saying here that Kindeva, the reason for that, Kindevas are those that, who are Kindeva? Kindeva, Kinara, Naga. Kindevas are those, if you look at them, you may doubt, are they demigods or are they human beings? That category, there's one like that. Kinaras are such people that if you look at their face, and the body, you may think that they are human bodies. They look like the human body. And Kim Purushas are the Vanaras, Hanuman's category. They are all Kim Purushas. If you look in the fifth canto, you will see in Kim Purusha Varsham, Lord Ramachandra is worshipped by the Kim Purushas. And Kim Purusha is a word used there for the, we call it as Vanaras, isn't it? Monkeys, we call them. Actually, they are another species. They came to help Ramachandra during the battle, isn't it? Kim Purushas have come. So, they are all living in different dweeb, in different places. And Bahuvastesham Prakritayo Rajasattva Tamobhuva. That because of this variation in Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Sattugunam, they are all have got different strengths and different weaknesses. Different strengths and different weaknesses. Why I am saying like that is, the human nature, we know, mentioned this, Shadurmi. Shadurmi means what? Hunger, thirst. Yeah? Hunger, thirst. Old age and Jaranara. Old age and becoming old age and the illnesses associated with that. And lamentation, hankering. This is the nature of the human body, isn't it? Human body immediately suffers from these six things. It's called Shadurmi. Shadurmi. Six waves which comes one after the other and affects this body. Shadurmi. So, this is problem with the human body. Suppose you had a demigod's body, what will happen? In demigod's body, because of the strength of Sattvagunam inside, always you are happy. That means there is no hankering and lamentation there in demigod's body. Demigods never hanker or lament about anything like the way we do. We are always hankering, lamenting, isn't it? Oh, I didn't make it. I didn't get that. I wish I had done this in the past. I wish I had done that. Demigods will never talk like that. They talk in a different way. Because why? There is no hankering, there is no lamentation in them. Demigods. Why? Because of the excessive sattugunam in them. Excessive sattugunam in them. And because of that sattugunam, Krishna has a little attachment for them. That sattugunam, because that brings its own good qualities in them. Although sense enjoyment is going on in the heavenly planets, demigods do have a higher standard of life compared to what we have here. In spite of that, the sattvagunam is predominant in them, and therefore, even while engaged in sense gratification, they are always conscious of what they are. They have not forgotten the self. Whereas once you come to the human body, very quickly you forget the self and accept the body as I am. Demigods have that concession given to them in that body to stay free from the bodily identity to the extent what we are in. So that makes their life a lot easier in spiritual life. They want to follow that. Plus, their body, when we engage in sense gratification, very quickly it loses all its strength and beauty. Beauty and strength goes away. That's why by 35, 40 we have all become old men. All hair has gone grey, and the sinking the flesh from the body, and the eyes have gone in, hearing gone. Very quickly it happens in this human body. Demigods' bodies are different. They have strength throughout life, a very high standard of strength. All this is due to the difference in the modes of nature. That's what Krishna is saying. And because it is like that, they understand Vedas in a different way than the way we understand. The same Vedas are present there also, what we are studying in this world. But they understand it better than the way we understand. They understand it different than us. That is the point Krishna is driving at. When I spoke in the creation to Brahma, I had certain conceptions in my thoughts which I have spoken through these Vedic hymns, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam. And now in the human species, most of it is already lost. You can see today, out of the Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam, the amount of the available script available today is very limited. It's very, very limited. But Rigvedam, 1200 or 1180 rigs, they are called. Rigvedam is coming from that. The rigs are still available, but there are many gone missing. We don't have it anymore. Yajurvedam, same story, same with Samavedam and Atharvana Vedam. And in some traditions, there is no one anymore to teach that certain parambara anymore. They are disappearing very fast from this world. There are so many institutions trying to revive that, but it hasn't happened very successfully so far. Individually, so many people are making effort to somehow to retain this, what is still available. Even that's becoming very difficult. So, in the Vedic times, it was available and it is meant to happen in that way in Kali Yuga. But when the Satyugam comes back, the whole thing will come back again. It's mentioned in the Bhagavadam. All Vedic knowledge will come back to this world again. So, because it is like that, the Vedic knowledge also, Krishna says, according to the modes of nature, it has been received differently by different people. And then he says, After that he says here, verse 7, Yavir bhudani bidhyande bhudanam madhayastadhaha yada prakriti sarvesham chitravaja sravandihi. Because the modes of nature is different, the result will be the vasana of everyone will also be different. Suppose one has some certain vasana inside. Accordingly, he will associate with the particular modes of nature, isn't it? Accordingly, he will associate with the particular modes of nature. And when that happens, he says, this intelligence will get polluted with that. His intelligence will get polluted with that. In other words, according to his vasana inside, the meaning of these Vedic hymns will develop in his intelligence in different ways. That's what I was saying. Aravindo was a learned personality, isn't it? You know Aravindo. Aravindo has, he was born here in UK, and then he became very serious about Vedic philosophy, went back to India, and then spent a lot of time studying this Vedic literature. And from that he has come to certain understanding, and in his books if you read, you will see what Vedas are talking about. He mentions there his understanding. And when you read all that, you will think, where has he got all these things from? You will wonder, think, it's not directly, it's not mentioned there. It is from his realizations he is writing. And from the same Vedas, Vedavyasa Maharshi is giving another realization. And somebody else is giving something else. So all these different understanding has come from the same Vedas. Why Krishna is saying that? Because according to a person's vasanas inside, and according to the three modes of material nature, when he studies Vedas, in his intelligence something will develop according to his vasanas and the modes of nature he is in. Combined together, vasanas and the modes of nature, that the essence of the, or the meaning of these Vedic hymns will manifest in his intelligence in different ways. See how difficult it is. That is why the difficulty is, that we all say Vedas saying like this, Vedas saying like that. But actually, to completely fix it, that this is what exactly Krishna has meant, only Krishna knows what he meant by saying that. Only Krishna knows what he was trying to say to us. And the difficulty Krishna comes, it's not my fault, he says. It's the fault of the three modes of nature and the vasanas of the person. That is what the difference is coming from. So everyone will insist, it's my opinion is correct, Krishna says. Everybody will insist, what I am saying is correct. So although there is only one meaning, Krishna says, for these hymns, what Krishna has given, released through the sages, different meanings have started coming out from that in this way. Different meanings have started developing in that way because of this reason. What is that? One, due to the three modes of material nature, and secondly, due to the vasanas inside. Due to the vasanas inside. The two combined together will develop some conclusions in his own intelligence when he studied the Vedic literature. When he studies the Vedic literature. Take for example, Bhagavad Gita. If you take Bhagavad Gita, somebody will say it's all based on this jnanam. Somebody will say it's all based on bhakti. Somebody will say it's all based on karma. Someone else will say, no, none of them. It's all based on this yoga, he says. All these different versions have come from Bhagavad Gita also. And everyone will say, I am right. Isn't it? Everyone will say, I am right. So these differences, evam prakriti vaichitryal vidyande madayonanam, next verse, parambaryena keshanjil paghandha madayo parem. Krishna says, according to the vasanas, prakriti vaichitryal. Prakriti vaichitrya means what? Prakriti vaichitrya means those who are studying this Vedic literature according to the vaichitryam, diversity in their vasanas. According to the diversity in their vasanas. Evam prakriti vaichitryat vidhyande madayo nranam. He says there that their intelligence will be broken up or will be distributed in different ways. Parambaryena keshanjil. And some others, pakandha madayo abare. Some other people, because of parambaryam. Say for example, somebody has come forward.
and he has studied the Veda. Say for example, we got Acharya Rajanish saying something, and then Mahesh Yogi is saying something, and all of them have come and saying that this is what the Vedas are saying. So what will the followers do? Followers will also say the same thing, won't they not? That's what the followers' duty, isn't it? What the Guru has said is to keep on repeating the same thing. That this is what my Guru has said, that has to be the right one. Your Guru has told the wrong thing. So there will be confusion there also. So that's what Krishna is saying in that verse. Evam prakriti vaichitryal vidyande matayo nirnam. Vidyande matayo nirnam. That conclusions will be different because of their difference in their vasanas and also due to their prakriti vaichitram vidyande. That vidyande, it will break their matayo vidyande matayo nirnam. Their intelligence will come to different conclusions, in other words, because of the prakriti vaichitram, because of their variation in their vasanas. Basically, vasanas. You can see that among the sages, even if you look, Durvasa Muni, Angiras, Atri, they were all different. Vasishtha was different than Vishwamitra, wasn't he? Vasishtha was different than Vishwamitra. Both are sages. You may imagine the thing that why they were not friendly each other. They were not even friendly each other, were they? Most of the time, Vasishtha had a lot of problems with Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra had a lot of problems with Vasishtha as well. So even in among them, if their differences can be so striking, what to talk about ordinary people who have no clue what is written in the Vedas? How difficult it is. Our situation. Is there any wonder we have so many problems in this world in the name of religion? So the thing is that prakriti vaichitram, you cannot write it off. Vasanas are different in everyone. And modes of nature are different. And accordingly, there will be diversity in everyone. That diversity will happen. That is why even Krishna consciousness, when it comes to, all of us understand in different ways. Isn't it? Somebody says it's all service, nothing else. Somebody says it's all useless, only knowledge. And somebody says no, only chanting. And somebody else says nothing doing, only deity worship. All this vaichitram, why it has come? Because of the vasanas in the person. That is what is causing these differences in everyone. And one is saying that this is what I have understood from my Guru Maharaj. He is telling me this is the only truth and I will continue to do this. You have not understood properly, therefore you are telling me the wrong thing. They will say like this. Evam prakriti vaichitriyat. That's what Krishna is saying. So this vaichitriyam or this diversity has come because of the different vasanas as well as the different modes of nature in a person. And that you cannot any time write off. You have to accept that in the spiritual life. So, Parambaryana Keshanjil Pakanda Matayo Apare, he says. Some other people, he says, Parambaryana. Say, Parambaryana means that you have gone to one disciplic succession. Doesn't matter which one it is. Mahesh Yogi, Swarajanish, or whichever. Once you are in there, you can't get out. You are stuck there. Then you have to say, this is the only thing what is right. You are stuck there. You can't say anything else after that, can you? Because you are in that, you are a part of it. So, that's what Krishna is saying here. Parambaryana Keshanjil, Pakanda Matayo Abare. Even if that person is an atheist, you have to still say that he is right. Because you have gone into that parambara, you have accepted. That's what happens in parambara. Sometimes you accept a parambara, then what parambara says is the final. Nothing else is right. So, he says here, Pakhanda Matam. What is Pakhanda Matam? Pakhanda means this, atheism. He may be an atheist. There were very powerful atheists, you know that. There were very powerful atheists. Through logic and reasoning, they'll prove to you God doesn't exist. They have their own logic. You won't be able to argue with him. Because they also have the intellects in them, which is very strong sometimes. And they will continue to argue, and you will never be able to sometimes win, and they have followers also. So those who are in that parambara, they will say, Pakhanda Madhyo Parambaryana Keshanjil Pakhanda Madhyo Apare. They are Pakhandis. That means they are atheists, practically atheists. And they are against the Vedas, and still they will argue strongly in favor of that, of their position, because of the false ego inside. Vasanas are strong, modes of nature are strong,
and the false ego won't allow them to listen to somebody else. Sometimes you can see in the among the different religious groups, they have this interfaith discussion, isn't it? It's the biggest joke in this world. In that discussion, what happens is, each one of them thinks their position is correct. And they're trying to tell the other one, look, this is what we have understood. Let us pick those points where we have agreement, so that we don't fight each other. And those points where we have disagreement, we won't discuss that, because then there will be fight. This is interfaith. I'm sorry if there is anybody in the interfaith here. But interfaith is like that. This is Krishna saying here, this is all coming from the modes of nature. Recently in Bangalore, there was a meeting like that between two religious groups. And it all ended up in big fight, each other at the end. And what happened was, both of them went there with their books and CDs and cassettes, everything. And one group, as soon as they started distributing their CDs and cassettes to other group. Immediately, because nowadays that's the main thing, isn't it? How much you can propaganda you can do. So the other group comes back. They have brought loads of CDs and cassettes from 20 years onwards. And they bombarded the other group with this, what they brought with this. So both of them gone back with their CDs and cassettes and everything. Then they realized there's not enough time to listen to all that. If you start making decisions based on all what you have heard from others, then it's going to complicate the issue very much. And that's why all this discussion about religion and discussion about all this is a waste of time. It won't get anywhere. So Krishna is saying here, evam prakriti, these verses are very interesting because some things Krishna is opening up and telling us to be watchful and careful before we come to some conclusions about various things. Evam prakriti vaichitryal vidhyande madayo nrinam parambaryana kesha anjal pakhanda madayo apare. There are others who are pakhandis who come in that. Manmaya mohidadiya purusha purusharshapa shreyo vadandyan egantam yadha karma yadha aruchi. Krishna says, all of them, all these groups, different groups who are propagating, they are all under my maya, he says. They are all in the maya. They are not one is out of it, he says. In manmaya mohida dhiya, their intelligence is completely polluted by my maya. Purusha purusharshabha, addressing Uddhava, he says, shreyo vadandya negandam yatha karma yatha ruchi. That this, because of their maya, powerful presence, maya means what? Modes of nature, isn't it? Modes of material nature. That's what maya means. So due to that influence of maya, they will all talk differently. Somebody will say going back to heaven is the biggest thing. Going back to heaven after, you will do what you want, ultimately you'll go back to heaven. There is some people saying like that. Some people are saying like that, that you propagate in such a way that ultimately kill anyone doesn't matter, eventually you will go to heaven if you kill him. And there you can enjoy with women and all other things. They are saying like that. Some group are saying like that. Somebody else is saying something different, isn't it? Krishna is saying all of them are under the influence of maya. Nobody is out of it. So he says, shreyo vadandin egantam yadha karma yadha ruji. Because their gunabhedam, the difference in the modes of nature, have caused the difference in their intelligence, buddhivedam. Gunabhedam has caused the buddhivedam. And because of buddhivedam, their opinion is also different. Each one of them have different opinions. And because of that, their actions, karmam, is also different. Because their opinion is different, their action will be different. And because the actions are different, their taste is also different. Ruchi Vedam. He says here. So yadha karmam, yadha ruchi. According to the karmam, the ruchi. According to the karmam, the ruchi. Yadha karmam, yadha ruchi. Krishna says according to their karmam, their ruchi will be. Ruchi will be according to their karmam only. If their karmam is all rajogunam, full of rajasic activities, then taste also for Bhagavadam will be like that. It will be in the same way. Isn't it? So yadha karmam, yadha ruchi. First thing is, the three modes of nature, Krishna calls it as maya here, affects everybody. Nobody is free from that. It will have its impact on the intelligence. Based on the vasanas inside, that person will have understood it in a particular way. Understood it in a particular way. Accordingly, his intelligence will dictate to him to act in a particular way. And when he acts in a particular way, that karma will create a particular taste for that. Yatha karmam yatha ruchi. That's what he's saying in that verse. Manmaya mohidadiya purusha purusha rishabha shrayo vadandi nekantam yatha karma ruchi yatha ruchi. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.